Southern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
The information, comments, and links provided on this segment do not constitute legal advice. No attorney-client relationship has been or will be formed by any communications to, from, or with the listener and attorneys. For legal advice, contact an attorney actively practicing in your jurisdiction. Do not send any confidential or privileged information to the attorneys or radio show, nor shall the attorneys, radio show, or associated employees assume any liability or responsibility for it. Also, no such information, documents, or materials will be returned to you. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this segment are hereby expressly disclaimed. Visit the KFK website for the full legal disclaimer.
All right, it's time. The moment everybody's been waiting for. The People's Court is in session. It is time for Ask a Lawyer. I am Tanner Schwint, of course. I'm not a lawyer, but I've got two sitting across from me. Havla Luis Bruno Lilly with Bruno Lilly Legal. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Good. You seem fired up to be here. Taylor Myers with Taylor Made Legal Services. How are you doing?
Great. I'm
all right.
Doing wonderful.
That's a better response. All right. So today we're going to be talking about, in the first segment here, we're going to be talking about harassment and the cyberbullying statute. Am I correct in saying that? Kind of. I mean, unofficially, officially?
Yeah, it's unofficially the cyberbullying statute.
It's very interesting to me. So we're going to talk with Havila first. I'm going to have you break it down. And then we're going to talk to Taylor about how this affects the civil side of things. Especially on social media. People just get dumb when they get on social media. So start us first by setting it up. What happened with the Colorado Supreme Court?
Well, Colorado has that harassment statute, which sort of breaks down different types of criminal harassment. One that we talked about previously is when somebody touches somebody and it's unwanted. That's a form of harassment. There are other forms of harassment in the statute that includes the cyberbullying that says, look, you can't post a bunch of things online that's intended to harass and annoy somebody else. You can't send them text messages, similarly, that's intended to harass and annoy somebody else. So that is a Class 3 misdemeanor. In the case that we're talking about that was just decided by the Colorado Supreme Court, this couple was going through a divorce. Mom withheld the children from dad, and dad posted a bunch of really nasty stuff about mom online and texted it to her. So he was charged under the cyberbullying statute.
And so now this is protecting people's ability to do that, or is this saying you can't do that now?
Before this decision, you were not allowed to do this. It was criminal behavior. So this particular gentleman was charged with the crime. He was convicted of the crime, appealed it all the way up to the Colorado Supreme Court, and the Colorado Supreme Court said, no, this is an improper restriction on free speech.
Well, I thought I had a case against a couple of my Twitter followers out there before this. So apparently I don't, because they get in my mentions and just to harass me.
Yeah, if they're just saying kind of stupid stuff to harass you, then it's fine.
You're saying that the people who disagree with me and yell at me on Twitter, they have the First Amendment protects that, right?
Yeah, thankfully.
right. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to have this radio show right here. How is this going to impact, on the criminal side of things? Is it going to be a lot more cases like you just talked about, or how is it going to impact, some of those other forms of harassment? Will it have any bearing on any of that?
Well, the Colorado Supreme Court has struggled for a long time with the harassment statute, particularly as it relates to people's ability to say what they want to say to other people. In this particular case, Justice Hood sort of goes back and looks at another case that they decided decades ago under the same issue. And so it's always difficult for them. There are other sections in the harassment statute that may be implicated. I don't think in terms of, the one where you're touching somebody without their permission is going to be implicated. But there's another couple of sections in there that restricts speech. So we'll see if it comes up.
Well, and we know, too, that social media is always evolving, too, and there's always different platforms for people to do this. Taylor, on the civil side of things, you see this a lot, like with what Havel was just talking about with divorces, right? Maybe it's the only, line of communication that they might have left is by, tagging them on Instagram or Facebook or something like that after a nasty divorce. how is this going to impact those types of cases?
I think it more impacts still the criminal side, because what I see a lot of is this during a divorce, the spouse, one spouse uses it against the other, kind of how we've talked about before, where it, during a divorce, it's like they'll call the cops and use it as a tool rather than actually feeling harassed or actually feeling threatened. And so my advice almost always to people, whether it's an amicable divorce or not, or either child custody, anything, is to request from the get-go that you only talk through a designated app on your phone. The one I use is Talking Parents, and that just means that way there's an additional layer of protection. The court usually, if you request it, orders it and says you cannot, unless it's an actual emergency involving the child, talk through any other means of communication, whether that's recently had one that was Venmo. They were requesting money like 10 times a day from the other side. It's like, no, that's a form of communication. But going back to the criminal, then a lot of times if the one side isn't getting what they want from the divorce or child custody, they'll say, oh, I'm going to call the cops and say I feel harassed by these text messages. Cops go, and then sometimes it would lead to actual criminal charges. And that puts a huge that has a huge effect on the divorce, obviously. So that changes
right
things now too.
Let me put a hypothetical out there, and it's not far off from what we just talked about, Havel. But so there's a divorce going on. The wife jumps on, you know, Facebook and just starts saying a lot of damning things that maybe aren't necessarily true about the recently divorced husband. Is there anything? I mean, is there any actions that does this fall under harassment, or would that be like libel, or what would that fall under? And this, I know it's a very broad hypothetical, but what are your first thoughts?
Well, so Justice Hood sort of addressed that in this opinion, in that he goes, look, somebody's right to kind of spout off what they believe or what they think in this context should be protected, because the person who's probably on the receiving end of that message has the ability through the same electronic medium to block them, to delete the message, and to ignore what's sort of happening.
But if it starts having an impact, with job interviews, right? When somebody's applying for a new job, the first thing I do when I'm interviewing people is go and check out their social media. So if something like this pops up, that's a major red flag. Is there any standing to do something about that?
Libel and slander is really hard to prove, and most people are not going to succeed on that.
Is that right? Okay, so would that fall under something different than this harassment statute?
Yes, so that would be a civil action where you say, okay, you are saying something untrue about me, and it's harming me professionally or in my life some other way. And then you would go seek monetary damages for that issue.
Taylor, when you talk about divorces, I mean, do you see a lot of this? Do you see a lot of the name calling and running down of people on social media?
Social media, more so I see it through text and calling, like sending texts that are just awful. And even some of my clients, I'm like, I understand this is difficult, but block them if you have to, you know, or if that, because a lot of times it's them in response to it saying these awful things. The other thing I'll add to what Havel was just talking about, what else you could do if there's not a civil, well, this is a civil remedy, is if this keeps happening, you can go ask for a civil protection order. And while it may, there's a temporary civil protection order that usually gets granted if there's enough means to say, hey, this is affecting my life and look how damaging it is. And then
what rights does that protect? Sorry, I know you got more there, but what rights, I mean, does that just mean that they can't be posting stuff like that?
It basically, I don't have it pulled up, but there is there's a few prongs to a civil protection order. And one of the things the court looks at is recency, like how recent is it and how do you feel threatened by it? And so typically the court will order a 2-week temporary civil protection order.
Right.
And that means the other party, once they get served with that paperwork, they can't message you. They can't, regardless of what this criminal law says, they can't communicate with you. They have to stay 100 yards away from you. And sometimes that potentially the court could modify that civil protection order to say you can't even tag them on any social media.
Really?
You can still say what you want about them on the social media, but you can't actually
draw them into the conversation.
Yeah. Right. And so that's kind of a cooling off period. But sometimes, a lot of times, that's enough to say, okay, we're going to the permanent protection order hearing, where then that shows up on your background check, things like that. And that's enough to scare people to say, okay, I'm going to either stop, or then you go to the permanent protection order hearing, and that's kind of a different, whole different animal.
What are the consequences if that civil protection order is broken?
It's criminal.
So at that point, it just goes. Is that a misdemeanor? Is that a felony? Where does that?
It would be a misdemeanor.
A misdemeanor. It would fall under that. And I would imagine that happens relatively often.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have this sort of gut reaction of, you can't tell me what to do, and they sort of buck against it. And when you are served with a protection order and you decide to violate that protection order, that is now a criminal act that you can be charged for.
Okay. All right. Any final thoughts on the harassment issue that we just talked about, and what that can mean for people who find themselves in those situations?
Well, for cases that are currently being charged this way, it's not an immediate relief. So I think people need to keep in mind that if you are currently charged under this harassment statute, it's not immediately going to get dismissed. You still need to talk to a lawyer. There's going to be a process in place for the case to get dismissed. So it is still a long process to go through. But this is good news in general for the community.
Good to know. Taylor, any final thoughts on this subject?
No, just that I guess if also with the civil protection order, if you feel like you are in some sort of danger, also talk to an attorney to potentially file a temporary civil restraining order.
All right. That'll do it for the first segment. Thank you very much. We're going to talk about the slap heard around the world when we come back on the other side. Yeah, I know. I'm tired of hearing about it, too. But you're going to have to hear about it, because I got two lawyers sitting right here, and I want to know what Chris Rock could have done. We'll talk about that next. It's Ask a Lawyer right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. NoCo Now here. We've just got a couple of minutes left here with the lawyers, Taylor Myers, TaylorMade Legal Services, and Bruno Lilly Legal. That is Havila over there as well. Havila's a little upset with me. I was talking a little smack this morning, and I don't think you want lawyers on your bad side. So that may have been a mistake.
Which is weird, because all we do is talk smack to each other all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Because
you're not in the inner circle of trust.
I thought I was.
You misread that.
Did I? Okay. Well, you flat out blatantly told me that I was on the inner circle of trust.
I do not believe I ever said that.
You did. Read back the transcripts, Ryan. Do you have them? All right. So I want to talk about this. First of all, did either of you guys know the Oscars were happening on Sunday?
No.
I had no idea.
I knew they were happening, but I did not watch.
No, I hate Hollywood. I mean, if you listen to my show for more than 5 minutes, I think they're all weird and dumb and stupid. And I think we saw that on Sunday night when Will Smith walked up on stage and smacked the crap out of Chris Rock. First of all, let's ask the very important question. Was it real?
I believe it was real.
I think it was real, but I think there was some thought into, hey, this is going to get some some publicity.
So I think that it was absolutely real, and I don't think it was a skit, because once they start cussing, the skit gets muted. So we weren't able to hear it, right, until we saw the Japanese version of it come out, because the Japanese don't care, apparently. They just let anything fly on there. And once Will Smith sat back down and said, keep my wife's name out of your blanking mouth, at that point, it was all bets were off. Okay, so a couple of questions here. First of all, obviously, Chris Rock did not press charges. Could he still if he wanted to?
Yes.
Okay. Would it have less chance of winning since it's taken him, you know, it's Thursday here, it's 6 days. Does that matter at all?
That he declined initially and then changed his mind. I mean, that definitely has a bearing on his credibility. But the issue that's going to be presented before a jury, if that's the way it goes, is whether or not this actually happened, not whether or not he wanted to proceed with charges. And whether or not when that act happened, is that criminal?
Okay. So now there's reports that Will Smith was asked to leave and did not. Even if Chris Rock doesn't want to file charges, could the Oscars do that?
So
I guess the Academy Award?
At the time, I think if they wanted him to leave, they needed to follow through with that. With every crime and every civil action, there's a statute of limitations. Is trespass within the statute of limitations? Probably. Would they get much ground to try to pursue it now? Probably not.
Are you guys tired of hearing about it yet?
Yeah, I'm just so... I haven't even watched the full clip because I've seen so many memes that I'm like, I'm so over it.
So hilarious. whose side are you on? Chris Rock or Will Smith?
I don't know that there's a side.
No, there's absolutely a side. That's my job, I mean, is to stir the pot. Whose side are you on?
So if I had to pick a side, Chris Rock.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
Because one, like, I don't like this idea that we can't laugh at ourselves. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea that we can't laugh at things that are terrible in the world, because that's how people...
I know your sense of humor,
yeah,
too.
And that's how people deal with those really terrible things.
Well, and she's very public about it. I mean, she's like, all I can do about this is laugh now. Whose side are you on, Will Smith or Chris Rock?
I'm on Jada's side.
Wow, that might be the worst take I've heard all
week.
Why? I can't.
We're sitting here she's sitting here talking about the men, and it's like, can we just say, okay, she's allowed to be mad and then move on?
I mean, I suppose so. I can't stand Jada. I just think
she's... Okay, you cannot stand her, but maybe her feelings for her and like...
Oh, sorry.
If you got on stage and started talking about my hair, I'd be mad at you.
Okay, well, should we test that out?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. But this is, I'm 100% on Will Smith's side on this.
You're on Will Smith's side?
I'm on Will Smith's side.
Really?
I am. Yeah, I am. If roles were reversed and I was sitting there in the audience, I probably would have had the exact same reaction. He chuckled at first. He saw his wife shoot him a glance like, okay, and had... You know, my girlfriend Jenna had done that to me. There's no saying I wouldn't have walked up there and smacked the crap out of Chris Rock, too. So in good conscience, I can't say that. But on the other side, and I've argued with myself a lot on this, I love dark humor. I love any jokes that there are out there. I laugh at just about some of the most messed up stuff there is. So I understand making fun of it. But actions have consequences. And he made a joke, and it didn't land. And so I'm on Will Smith's side. Go defend your woman.
The natural consequence of a bad joke is that nobody laughs. Right?
Or you get smacked in the mouth. If I walked up to random people on the street and said, hey, buddy, you know, your wife's bald, like, there's a pretty good chance I'm getting smacked, too.
Yeah, but that's on the street. You don't go to a comedy show where they're calling people out.
That's
you
true.
Know he's going to call all of, like, going there, he's going to call people out.
I'm sorry. Can we just back up a minute? It's never appropriate to smack people in the face. And that is my official lawyer advice.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with that wholeheartedly. And that's my official radio show of advice. So you pick who you side with on that, the lawyer or the radio show
host?
Well,
when you take Tanner's advice, feel free to give me a call for your free consult.
Let's see here. I gotta read this to make sure I can say this on air. If more people did what Will Smith did, we wouldn't have... Oh, nope, I can't read this on air. Okay. we wouldn't have all these people, I'll edit it, in the world mouthing off and thinking nothing is going to come of it. I tend to agree.
Yeah, I think we're just like... dangerously going down a slippery slope of cancel culture if you're really just going to start going down that way. Because now we're just like, sorry, everything's off limits. We can't talk about
it.
And
another text just said, probably shouldn't sit in front row of a comedy act if you don't want to be made fun of. Chris Rock made his career off of roasting celebrities. I mean, yeah. So he's saying that, you know, if you can't handle it, which
yeah. Also you're a celebrity, like I'm sure there are, like, don't get on Twitter if you can't handle it.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I love Chris Rock's reaction. Like, why he didn't put his hands up is beyond me. But when he goes, I will, when he says he's going to keep his Jada's wife or Jada's name out of his mouth. Let's get that straight. And then he goes, oh, I could. Okay. All right. Like he said, I mean, if you listen to that, he says, oh, I could. I mean, he was easy on that with all the entanglements and all the other different jokes out there about it. He really could have gone in. So I do give Chris Rock kudos for that.
I think that's part of the reason why I think it was real is because you watch Chris Rock kind of go, all right, where do I go with this?
Right. And then he stumbled at the very, like, I thought he played it off pretty well, but he stumbled at the very end. All right. Any final thoughts? I would love to sit here and argue this. I really would. And this will be a conversation for another time, I'm sure. But any final thoughts, Taylor, we'll start with you and then throw out your information where people can get a hold of you.
Sure. No. Well, no final thoughts, but I am going to give a shout out. I'm working with the Boys and Girls Club of Colorado to do a fundraiser. We're doing kind of people can donate new clothes or very, very gently used clothes for women. And then we're hosting kind of people on May 12th can come and drink wine and buy the clothes. And all the money goes to Boys and Girls Club of Weld County.
I love it.
So I'm doing that so people can get a hold of me to donate their clothes. And they can call me at my business number, which is 970-939-8366.
Perfect. Thank you so much for putting and being a part of that program. Hevel, final thoughts from you. Don't talk to the cops.
Well, if you hit somebody or slap them across the face, certainly don't talk to the cops. And then give me a call for your free consult, 720-340-1373. And you can find me at brunalilylegal.com.
All right. I'm going to give you a dollar to keep you on retainer. 10:31 the time. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk with you next week. We've got Kyle Clark coming up next. But first, bottom of the hour news and weather center.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, we have him on the line, the CRP 4x4 VIP guest, the king of Colorado television. It is Kyle Clark with Next on 9 News. Kyle, how are you doing this morning?
Morning, Tanner. I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well. So I've got the wolf talk out of the way. I've got the lawyers out of here. I don't think I'm in any legal trouble, so I think it's been a pretty good morning.
I feel like scheduling like wolves and lawyers and journalists to some would seem redundant.
That's about right. But when I've got lawyers and journalists talking about wolves, you know, things get interesting.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, Kyle. Well, we're gonna start with some of the negative stuff here, and then we're gonna end it talking about something really cool that you've got going on. But I'm gonna ask you a loaded question right off the bat. What the hell is going on with Tina Peters?
Your guess is as good as mine. No, what's happened this week is, so Tina Peters, of course, is the Mesa County clerk who is facing felony charges for allegedly tampering with her own voting systems when she went on an unsuccessful search for evidence of election rigging. She is also running for the Republican nomination for Secretary of State to be Colorado's chief elections officer. One of the things that's going on is she's been raising money for her legal defense for the last couple of months when it became increasingly clear that she was going to get indicted locally, if not federally, and so on and so forth. She was facing an ethics complaint for her legal fund here in Colorado because the Independent Ethics Commission, has issued an advisory opinion in the past saying that if you're a public official and you're going to raise money for your legal defense, you got to tell people who's contributing. You know what I mean? Like if so-and-so politician wants to collect donations to keep them out of hot water, the public should know who gave. Well, she wasn't doing that, and she is facing an investigation and a potential penalty of $2 for every $1 that she raises. So sly like a fox or a wolf or any other keen animal, what appears to have happened is she's moved her legal defense fund out of state.
And I mean, that is just cut and simple and cut and dry for me. I mean, that is just unethical to be doing. And it just seems like she had the opportunity to maybe, I guess, quit while she was behind. And it seems like she just keeps digging on this.
Well, she definitely has stopped the potential financial penalty from increasing from her Colorado fund by shutting it down. And honestly, the only reason we found out about this is because I went to her legal defense fund page to gather some information, and the page was down. So I started reaching out to her people saying, hey, what happened to the fund? Where's the fund? And then I started noticing in some of her media appearances that she was referring people not to her legal fund here in Colorado, but instead to a fund based in Wisconsin run by the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell. And I talked to Mike Lindell on the phone earlier this week, and he confirmed to me at a high decibel level that he, in fact, is funding Tina Peters' legal defense.
Well, and I just saw this quote, what kind of rotten reporter are you, and hung up on you?
Yes. I asked him if he had contributed to Clerk Peters' previous defense fund because he's been such a prominent supporter of hers, and he asked a question of me, which was, what kind of rotten reporter are you? I attempted a couple of responses, but at that time it was pretty clear he was doing the talking, and I was doing the listening.
What would your response have been, Kyle?
Well, I've been called any variety of rotten reporter, but again, the reason for the call was for me to ask him questions so that I could get the story right. But I mean, the fact is, he confirmed that he is in fact funding her defense and has in the past. So now she's raising money out of state. The question becomes, when you talk about is this ethical or not, the folks who will decide whether it's ethical within the bounds of the law is Colorado's Independent Ethics Commission, the IEC. Remember, they're the ones who slapped Hickenlooper for taking those private plane flights from rich people and not paying them back. That was 2 years ago. So there's going to be a similar investigation process here on Peters. There could be a new complaint against her in the future, potentially, because there's a gift ban for Colorado's public officials. You can't accept something worth more than $50 from somebody. That's where Hickenlooper got in trouble, because he didn't reimburse from these plane flights. Somebody is probably going to come along and say, how much money has Tina Peters received from the MyPillow guy, and is it a sham? I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
No, I love it. And to be honest, you know, Kyle, I've been trying to follow along with this, but, you know, it just seems like one thing after another keeps coming up. First, you know, it's the tampering with the voting machines, and then, you know, she's resisting arrest. This thing, I mean, there's so many different angles of this. How have you kept this straight in your head?
I think the key is to keep telling people very clearly what is not in dispute. Because there's a lot of muddying of the waters, there's a lot of various claims, and there's some things that haven't been adjudicated and they haven't been figured out yet. But there's some things that are just simply not in dispute. You know, Tina Peters does not dispute the fact that they physically snuck somebody into the elections office to take copies of these hard drives, which she thought could prove something about voter fraud. There's no disputing, it's on video, that she tried to kick a cop when she was getting arrested. I mean, these kinds of things are not in dispute. What's not in dispute from this week's news is that facing an ethics complaint about her Colorado legal defense fund, she's now directing donations out of state to Wisconsin. So those things are not in dispute. The other thing that's not in dispute is that all of this has only endeared her to her supporters, who see her as a hero for the cause.
Kyle, in your investigation of this and your reporting on this, I really hope that you found that it's just a very small number of very loud people that actually understand and agree with her on this, because it seems, and this is me speaking, I'm not speaking for Kyle, but it seems like she is completely crazy.
I think that there is no telling the extent of her support until we actually see the assembly process and the Republican primary for Secretary of State. She's running against Pam Anderson, who's a former Jeffco clerk. She's a staunch Republican, but she is not. Pam Anderson is not a believer in the big lie that the election was rigged and so forth. And Pam Anderson is willing to explain to people in depth how Colorado's elections work, why they're secure, et cetera. That is really going to be the test, Pam Anderson and Tina Peters, to see where the Colorado Republican Party is in terms of the party faithful, in terms of which approach they favor going forward. I think, yes, Tina Peters has a very kind of vocal following. I think it is a mistake to say it's a small following. I don't think that it is.
That's alarming, to be quite honest. In my opinion, that is alarming to hear, because you just take any average citizen, you take away the political party, and you say, okay, here's what's happened. I think you say, okay, this is insane. This is utterly insane what's gone on. And I'll be very curious, and I hope personally for my fellow Coloradoans that we show the support not for her, but for Pam Anderson. That's very interesting to see how that's going to play out.
I think that that is possibly the most interesting race in Colorado right now. Yes, there's going to be a race for governor. Yes, there's going to be a race for Senate. There's a very robust Republican primary for Senate with a lot of interesting people in that race. But if you want like a very crystallized choice, an opportunity to kind of take the temperature of Colorado's Republicans of where are they on Trumpism and on claims about election fraud and that kind of thing, there it is right there in that Secretary of State's race with Anderson and Peters.
We're talking with Kyle Clark with 9 News. And Kyle, I mean, this is something that Donald Trump really set the table for. I mean, with how he went about things, he was outspoken. You see people like Lauren Boebert, I feel follows along with kind of this formula that he put together. And there was seemingly more and more people taking this to the extreme. This is a critical swinging point for where the Republican Party wants to do here in Colorado, but across the nation as well.
And I think that every indication that we have that's based on scientific evidence, so here we're talking about polling. Polls can be wrong, but it's a different way to take the temperature of a room than just working off of anecdotes. And the polling would suggest that Republicans nationwide, including here in Colorado, are still staunchly supportive of former President Trump, and increasingly so as time goes on. So it's yet to be seen how that's going to play out in terms of our statewide races, but you're likely to have situations where this is going to be a very advantageous year for Republicans across the country, 2022. I mean, it has the potential to just be a bloodbath for Democrats all over the place. Colorado's a state that is still politically mixed, a third, a third, a third, trending toward the left in recent years. So the question is, how does that national environment, very pro-Republican, play out in a state that's still a third, a third, a third? I think it has a lot to do with the candidates that Republicans select and how they talk going into the election.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Kyle, there's a lot more topics I want to get to here, so we're gonna throw you some rapid-fire questions, if that's good with you. Just kind of in a hurry here. Let's start first with saying, how do you see these elections going for the state of Colorado and the Republican Party specifically?
I think that the Republicans will never get a more favorable environment than they're going to have this next year. What they can do with it remains to be seen, because the Democratic Party in Colorado, whether folks like their views or not, functionally has built an apparatus to win elections. And this dates back more than a decade. But all of the prevailing winds are with the Republicans right now. So I think we still need to see how things shake out.
Is the Douglas County School District not as crazy as it was a couple of weeks ago?
Define crazy. It's still a really heated environment down there. I mean, the bottom line is, we talked about this last time I was on, Tanner. The Republicans in Douglas County elected a new school board. They elected a governing majority of conservatives. So they're going to do conservative things. They're going to put in a charter school leader, a superintendent, as they did a few days ago. These are not unexpected things. I think what's unexpected and what has a lot of people watching Douglas County is this idea of Colorado law be danged. We're just going to kind of do this the way that we want to do it. And that's why you have a judge's injunction in Douglas County telling the school board majority, you can do what you want, but you have to follow the law. You have to have your meetings in public. And that's not a negotiable thing. They think it may, in fact, be negotiable, and they're looking to appeal.
Is Governor Polis reelected?
I think that he is absolutely the odds-on favorite, but it's a long time until November. And again, I think it has a lot to do with who the Republicans select, how that person puts together a coherent message. Because again, you're talking about a tremendous Republican wave here. And the question is, will Democrats' fortifications here in Colorado be enough to withstand that wave?
Do the Colorado Rockies make the playoffs?
No.
Okay. See, I I'm all in, man. I'm all in. I think the Rockies do get into a wild card. We're talking with Kyle Clark on 9 News. Let's see here. Kyle, you've got something really cool going on that I want to give you a couple of minutes to talk about with your word of thanks that's going on right now this week.
I appreciate that. So there's a cool thing that we've been doing since the worst time in the pandemic early on in 2020, which is Viewers on Next, which airs 6 p.m. on 9 News weeknights, put together a small micro-giving campaign each week where we'd ask people, hey, would you chip in $5 for a good cause? If I can find a great nonprofit somewhere in Colorado that's doing important work for our neighbors, how many people will chip in $5 for that? So we have done that now every Wednesday night for nearly 2 years. And in doing so, next viewers, $5 at a time, have raised $8.7 million for small and mid-sized nonprofits across the state. And it's so much fun.
Well,
and
it's awesome what you're doing, too, Kyle. It's awesome. Well, it's great news.
We're just pointing people in the right direction. And then they come in, and, you know, I've got skin in the game each week as well. I'll never ask people to give if I don't give myself. But we point people in a new direction every week, and the reason why I'm so thrilled to talk about it with you is because we're featuring a cause in Northern Colorado this week. It's Animal Friends Alliance in Fort Collins, and they serve Larimer and Weld and parts of Boulder County. But then used to be Fort Collins Cat Rescue and Animal House Rescue. They merged a couple years ago, and they're in the midst of expanding their work. They're one of those adoption-guaranteed shelters. I guess we used to call them no-kill shelters. But the idea is, they don't put a time limit on how long animals can be there. They're there until they get adopted. And what happens as a result, it's not going to surprise people, Colorado loves their pets, and we love our pets so much that we love on other states' pets. So we get animals sent here, very adoptable animals from Wyoming, from Texas, and California, and other places, animals that are ready to be adopted, totally suitable, but just simply their time's run out in another shelter and they'd be euthanized. Animal Friends Alliance up in Fort Collins takes in a good number of these transfers and has them until they get adopted. So this week, next viewers are helping to support their work. Since last night, we kicked this off at 6 p.m., and at last check, I think they've raised about $35,000
wow.
to help them out.
No, that's incredible. That's incredible, Kyle, and I love the different nonprofits that you pick to feature, and it's pretty cool. You know, this money goes a long way to with this nonprofit of upgrading facilities, creating more space so that they can do their job even better.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal with that. And if anybody has an idea of a great nonprofit there in Well County or Larimer or anywhere else that you think we should feature, and we've done a couple up there, shoot me a note. I got the easiest email in the world. It's just kyle@ninenews.com, or you can always find me on social media. I welcome any and all of your ideas. And Tanner, with your permission, I would give out the text number where folks can text in to get a link to see if they'd like to donate to Animal Friends Alliance.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. You just text the word thanks, just that word thanks, to 303-871-1491. 303-871-1491. You text the word thanks. We shoot you back a link. You can take a look and see if you're interested in kicking in $5 as a whole bunch of Coloradans raise money for a wonderful nonprofit.
Now, well done, Kyle. This is why I love having you on this program. You do a lot of great work for the state of Colorado, and I know you don't hear that nearly as much as you get called a rotten reporter, so I just want to make sure that I throw that out there for you.
I appreciate that. You didn't say it nearly as loudly as Mike Lindell said it, but I heard you.
And I'm already getting a couple texters that really loved that pun that you threw in there as well, Kyle. Kyle, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a very busy man, and I know that you got a couple of little kids to be taken care of as well. So I appreciate the time you give me this morning.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Tanner. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. That's Kyle Clark there with Next on 9 News. Appreciate his time and his insight. The Tina Peters thing is absolutely insane. I can't believe it. Kyle said the Rockies aren't making the playoffs. Is that a shock? Well, not to a lot of people. It's more shocking that I say they will. 10:51 the time. NOCO Now presented by the J9 agencies. Let's go ahead and get a break. We'll wrap up this show next right here. Don't you dare touch that dial.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I told you that second hour was going to go fast and furious. It did, didn't it, Ryan? He's nodding his head. You know, this radio platform, this medium, very verbal, vocally you gotta talk.
Oh, is that what this thing is in front of me?
That's called a microphone. The more
cool.
You know. We used to have that saved just so when I would drop a fact on you. Remember that? We'd play the. Isn't that right? The more
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Have I taught you more than your high school teachers did? Oh, cool. I did.
Probably not.
Cool. Yeah, I think so.
No, I don't think
they clearly
so.
Didn't teach you that inflation was real. So thanks to all of our CRP 4x4 VIP guests today. Thanks to Miles Bloomhart for joining us. Thanks to the lawyers, Taylor and Havila, for the Ask a Lawyer segment. And also a special thanks to Kyle Clark. If you're looking to donate, make sure you check that out to a no-kill shelter over in Fort Collins so that they've got the proper things that they need, tools at their disposal to do what they do best. Okay, here's how the station lines up for you the rest of the way. 11 to 12, it will be Clark and the Coach with our baseball training camp preview. 12 to 2, it'll be the whole show with Brady Hull. I'll be back on at 2 o'clock. Rockies Rundown with Jerry Schimmel. We're going to preview the Rockies season. It'll be every Thursday at 2 o'clock going forward throughout the duration of the Rockies season. 3 o'clock, 3 to 4, it'll be the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. At 4 o'clock, we've got high school baseball coming your way. Clark Johnson will be on the call for that one starting at 4 o'clock. Big thanks to Ryan Kelly for keeping this thing on the train tracks today. I am Tanner Schwint. Feel Good Friday coming your way tomorrow, starting at 9 o'clock. Until then, follow us along on social media, on Facebook at NoCoNow, on Twitter at Tanner Schwint. That'll do it for us. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Northern Colorado. Have a great one.